Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to the G-Spot with Mika Ray. And, of course, I am Miss Mika Ray. Tonight we are discussing prostitution. So we have a guest that's going to come on tonight. Her name is Quay Live. She was on our last show when we discussed stripping. So I'm doing a little small series here where we talk about prostitution, stripping, and porn work. So you all are listening to WJBR on blogtalkradio.com. And I am looking forward to us having a wonderful discussion tonight. I want to talk about everything from should prostitution be legalized? Would you ever consider prostituting? Are people forced into prostitution? Is there even such a thing as forced prostitution? Or is there such a thing as people actually choosing to prostitute? And if prostitution was legal, would the incidence of rape and sexual harassment decrease? So I think we have a lot to talk about tonight. So, of course, I love to start off with some type of song, some type of music, and I'm in the process of looking for that now. The song that I'm starting off with now is called Apple Cherry, and it is by, I believe her name is pronounced Nao, N-A-O. So I'm going to play her first, and then we'll be right back.
Take the fight of your free body, touch, I do like the taste.
Okay, so welcome back, everyone. That was Apple Cherry Kisses by Nayo. I think that's how you pronounce her name. But I love that song. So we have on our guest host tonight, who is Quay Live. You all heard from her when we did our show on stripping. Quay, are you there?
Hey, how y'all doing?
How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
How was your day? How was your weekend?
You know what? I had a good weekend. I truly enjoyed myself. Always doing something.
Well, good. You're looking forward to the Memorial Day weekend?
Yes, I'm going to definitely enjoy my holiday. I'm going to really
you have any plans?
Spend time with my family.
Okay,
you know,
resting and spending time with your family. That is always good. Well, great. So tonight, as I let everyone know, we're talking about prostitution.
Okay.
And
okay.
I have some of the things I wanted to discuss, you know, are why is it taboo? Do we think that people actually decide to be prostitutes? Is it more a choice or is it something that they're forced to do? Should it be legalized? Would you or have you ever hired a prostitute? And how would you feel if your lover cheated on you with a prostitute? Would you take him or her back? So we have like a few things that we're discussing tonight. So do you have any thoughts that you want to share before we get deep into it?
Well, first off, you did a great job of putting that topic together. That's awesome. I like that. We're going to open the airwaves and talk about that tonight because people need to know about that. And I feel like nowadays it's more like a choice. You know, it's fast money, you know, whatever it takes nowadays. Like, people don't really look at it as like, oh, I'm going to be misjudged. It's more like, hey, I'm going to do what I got to do.
And I feel like
it definitely needs to be legalized.
You think so? Why do you think it needs to be legalized?
Because, I mean, well, I know it's a dangerous thing. Let me put that out. It's a very, very dangerous thing, ladies. Very dangerous. But, I mean, you have some people that's their life, that's their job, that's their hustle. So it's all about how you carry yourself and what you're doing with your money and how you hustling. And I mean, you got whatever you do, you have to be careful regardless. But I mean,
I definitely agree.
I think you shouldn't keep locking those people up for that though. I think that's ridiculous.
I think my main thing is this: like somebody mentioned it to me earlier. Hopefully she will call in tonight and share her thoughts about it. But first off, if you are out there, you have something to say, you want to share your thoughts or your experiences, just press 1 and I will bring you on. And it could be anonymous. I don't have to say your name. You don't have to worry about that. But one thing that I think that we do have to address first, then we can go into the deeper topic, is that there's a lot of women are forced, quote unquote, into prostitution. However, we can say forced, like, you know, we do have the sex trade that is out here where little girls as young as sometimes 8 years old are kidnapped from the homes or kidnapped from different places or just sold from their own family, and they're sold into sex work. They're sold to be a sex slave. And that's the first thing I think that we have to think about, because a lot of people they're not necessarily making this choice. A lot of these kids aren't making this choice, but even some adult women are, you know, kidnapped from other countries and sold into the sex slaves, sold into the underground sex slaves market, and they are forced into prostitution. Then you have to think about those, just like you said, it's quick money. Some people are doing it based on their circumstances, which is also another quote-unquote means of being forced into it, because it's like you don't have you feel like you don't have any other way of making money. And this is, like you said, Quay, quick, easy way. Well, I'm not even going to say easy and bless you. It's a quick way to make a few dollars, pay some bills real quick, but it's still, in a sense, a forced type of thing because you're doing it based on your circumstances. Yeah. What do you think about those things?
Well, definitely. I mean, I feel like, you know, as far as sex trafficking and sex slave and things like that, it's a very dangerous thing. And you got to remember that a lot of those girls, their minds or their innocence is being taken away.
Mm-hmm. And it's a huge thing here, especially in Atlanta, Georgia. This is one of the biggest sex slave markets well. For kids.
Oh, yeah.
We do have somebody that's calling in, so let's bring them on.
Okay.
This is 9728. Hello. Hello.
Hey, caller. How you doing out there?
I'm sorry. I had put my phone on mute. I apologize. But Mika, you did touch on what I wanted to say after the first young lady indicated about it, you know, a choice. I think it's on both. It can be both situations because it is already legal up in the Vegas area. And, you know, most of those ladies are doing it by choice, whether it's their personal circumstances or, you know, a career, because prostitution is considered the oldest profession
right.
out there. But just like you said, Mika, there is a lot of young people, kids that are forced into prostitution. There are some adults that are forced in, you know, prostitution that are, you know, in captive, you know, held hostage and required to do that. So I think it's kind of on both ends. Some, yes, by choice, meaning they could just be, you know, just enjoy a different man and getting paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
But there are others that are forced into it without a choice.
That's true. And I wonder, like, what do we think about these women who are doing it? Because it's like you just make the decision to be someone who wants to have sex, you know, and they want to get paid for it. What is so wrong with that?
To me, it's nothing wrong with it because it's not me. It's not that I'm being forced to do it. Or I have to, you know, judge you. If that's what you want to do and that what's making you happy, by all means, go for it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I guess the biggest taboo comes in this. What I feel it comes from the fact that we already place sex in a different category than we do everything else. Period. Sex is something that you can enjoy. You're not supposed to enjoy. You're not supposed to do. A woman looks like or looked at as a whore if she has sex or, you know, with too many partners. So now you're going to get paid for it. That's even worse.
But when you think about it, and, you know, and I know this is probably going to brush people the wrong way, when we're married, we're getting paid for the sex too there. Whether we're cleaning, you know, whether we're cooking, whether we need an outfit, you know, our husband mad at us. Well, you know, I'm going to give him an extra little bit tonight. Or, you know, girlfriend, I'm going to give her an extra little bit tonight because I need to go shopping. Or I done been shopping. So you're still a prostitute, whether you want to call it that or not, when you do it for those reasons.
You know what I just thought about?
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. Remember, when you're in teenage age and your mom was like, well, don't be hanging with no man if he can't do anything for you. So a lot of times we can take that information and kind of flip it, and the first time you do get your exchange or something like that, it becomes addictive. You get hungry for it again. You're like, oh, well, I got to go back for that. You know?
Meaning the money or the sex?
More like the money.
Okay.
I think you made a very valid point, Quay, because a lot of kids are raised, a lot of women are raised to think that way. A lot of girls are raised to believe that it is okay to, that the only reason why, hang on, let me regroup what I'm trying to say. They're raised to believe that a man has to do something for them. Mm-hmm. Whether it's buying them clothes, shoes, whatever, if they're going to give them sex. And it's like sex is their only bargaining tool to get those things that they want from that man.
True.
So they are taught to use their bodies. We are weak. Women are taught to use our bodies as, like I said, that bargaining tool to get the things that we want or whatever. I can hear some feedback and winds. I don't know if somebody got me on the speakerphone. Oh, okay. Much better. Thank you. But I do feel like we are taught to use that as our bargaining tool, and then which makes it easier for women to fall into prostitution.
And if you think about it, now I'm sure, at least I hope, the churches don't mean it this way when they're talking about fornication. You know, I've heard ministers make the statement, you know, why buy the cow when you can get the milk free? And So, you know, don't give up the sex unless you get a wedding ring. Don't give up the sex, you know, unless he marries you, you know, all of this.
Right.
So I guess to a degree, if you really want to look at it that way in reference to our upbringing, yeah, you're taught to get married, get that ring, you know, get that house, you know, before you give up the sex. So
right.
Get something before you give it up.
Right. And like you, and I love the point. I love the fact that you even brought this up, because essentially, if we go by the definition of prostitute, we do it. We women are taught to do this every day of their lives. We're taught to, you know, we can push up our breasts a little bit if the police stops us, and we can get out of that ticket, or, you know, dress really sexy at work, and maybe you're going to get the raise that you want. You know, so we are taught to do a lot of this bargaining game with our bodies and our sexuality when it comes to men, or in some cases even for women. And I did want to read these facts where it states 90% of prostituted women have been physically abused as children. 74% have been sexually abused by a family member. 50% have been abused by a non-family member. 75% have drug problems. And all of these things actually remove the actual choice from the equation. And then even if they're involved, once they become involved in prostitution, then they are often like abused or murdered by these so-called pimps, the Johns, that get them work. And most of the time, that work that they do is not well compensated for, because we know the pimps and the Johns are the ones really making all the money. I don't know where everyone just went, but hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. And I think Quay ended up having to go. But I just think that it's a very, very interesting thing. Another thing, too, a lot of them don't have a means to exit the system. But they can't, because now, you know, they don't have quality education. They don't have money, health care, or other resources that will allow them to exit and feel safe and secure in doing so. So they end up just staying in it until they, you know, they end up dying, or eventually hopefully they get out of it. I really just think it's a very sad thing in a lot of ways.
I agree, because it's even with the strippers that are out there, because they didn't get the education. You know, the society nowadays, kids are having kids. their, you know, the oldest, you know, grandmas, you can be a grandma at 32, if not younger nowadays. And, you know, they out there stripping, good money, you know, if they're, you know, you don't even have to have the Coca-Cola bodies anymore to be a stripper. They got the plus-size strippers. And it's good, quick money for them. And if they can't do anything else, or if they do try to get a regular job and go and be productive in society, 9 times out of 10, they're not going to make the money they were making stripping.
Right. Right. That's true.
Or even processing. Yeah, so if they try to do the right thing and, you know, can't get the breaks they need on help and trying to, you know, get a decent salary, then they go back to what they know.
That's true. I definitely agree, and I think that relates to a lot of things when it comes to easy, quick money. And we say easy, but of course we know prostitution is not easy. A lot of the prostitutes, even though they are, you know, mainly out there selling their bodies and stuff, a lot of them are raped constantly and beaten constantly.
For their money.
Right, for their money. Or they're raped because the person doesn't want to pay them, you know, whatever, so they just take it. So they are at risk of being victims of more rapes, other forms of sexual abuse, and just physical, mental, and emotional abuse. So it's definitely not easy, quote unquote, but it is something that we continue to say easy, quick money, because you can make a lot of money, I guess. But then what are you sacrificing to make, you know, that amount of money? And, of course, I'm not condemning any of this. I'm just, you know, it's just a great conversation to have, because we don't talk about these things. We never look deeper than what we see on the surface. It's like, well, why would you do this type of stuff? And then we have to think about their circumstances, their worldview. Where do they come from? What led to this point in their life? And one of the other things, too, that I was reading is that the average age of entry into prostitution in the United States is 12 to 14 years old.
Mm.
And that is so scary. Like, even if you just imagine, well, you know, a lot of us, a lot of women have been through some form of sexual abuse. So I know a lot of people can understand what happened when you're a young girl and you're forced to have sex when you're not ready or prepared emotionally, mentally, even physically. And what does it say about these men who are out here paying for it?
Exactly, or even molesting these, you know, young girls. You know, where they're at mentally. And usually, that, you know, statistics show that the molesters have been molested themselves. The
yes.
young ladies that are so sexually aggressive or and I apologize, I don't even have the right term for it, that just, you know, just out there, it's because they've been molested and they don't know anything else, or they don't know the true meaning of love making and the proper use for sex, you know, the meaning, or, you know, the beauty of sex, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've never truly, their first experience was something negative.
Right, right. And they've never learned, you know, it becomes a learned behavior. And our bodies are very automatic. We remember, our bodies hold more memory than what we believe. So
exactly.
Very, very sad, very sad. So you know me, I need to break it up a minute. I gotta play a song, and then we'll come back and Sharon, if you Shay, if you want to stay on, you can. I would love for you to stay on. We continue to talk, and you know, you continue to share your thoughts. I really, really appreciate it. So I'm gonna play a song. It's called "It's You." It's by the same artist that I played earlier. Just because I don't know, I have fallen in love with her music all of a sudden. So I'm gonna play this song, and then we'll come back. And we will go into some other parts of the discussion. Remember, everyone, you can press 1 if you want to join in and discuss along with us. We would love to hear your thoughts. Okay, give me 1 second, and I'll be right back. Okay, so I love that song. Welcome back, everyone, to the G-Spot with Mika Ray. So tonight we are talking about prostitution. We've gotten into some heavy discussion here, and but I think it's necessary. I think we need to hear it. I think we need to talk about it. The fact that, you know, prostitution is not necessarily a choice for the majority of quote-unquote prostitutes out there, and that sometimes it is a learned behavior that we have learned from our surroundings or from people telling us that, telling women that our bodies are basically our bargaining tool for what we want and need in life, which is quite unfortunate. And I have Shay, are you there?
I
know you don't mind me saying your name, so that's the only reason I'm saying your name.
Yeah.
And then I think Quay is back on the line. Quay, are you there?
Hey, how y'all doing out there?
Oh, okay. So I didn't know if you had you wanted to leave or you were continuing to talk. So we're glad that you're back. Thank you. So my next topic in relation to this is, I do want to talk about, should we legalize prostitution? And if we do legalize it, do you all think that this will lower the incidence of rape and sexual harassment in society? Or sexual abuse?
No. Yeah, no, I don't think it's going to change anything in reference to sexual abuse. It's probably going to take away from the state with their little money for arresting these folks. So, you know, that's why, you know, they got to get their little change in there. So I doubt that they will probably. And you know, and the state of Georgia is a Bible belt type state. So I don't think the Christian Coalition would. I think they would fight it to the bitter end. I doubt that they would dare let it be legalized here in Georgia.
Right.
Yeah, but they fight a little sex shop.
Right. And Quay, I'm gonna mute you for just 1 second. I think that makes a lot of sense. I don't necessarily think that rape would end, because you still have people. Rape is about power. It has nothing to do about money. It has nothing to do about what's legal and what's not legal. It's all about having that power over someone and exerting that, I guess, in a way where you're in control of that person. So, yeah, I agree. I don't necessarily think that it would do anything in regard to rape. Or whatnot, or into sexual harassment, because then the next thing too we have to think about is you still have those predators that are out there, the child molesters, the sexual predators that are out there who will continue to do whatever they do with these little kids.
Exactly.
I think our main thing for society is just making sure we take away the taboo-ness of sex, period. Make it more of something we can talk about and help people feel more comfortable sharing what has happened to them, if they've been hurt sexually or if they've been raped sexually, and stop victim blaming. I think that is what's going to help. What you was going to say?
You know, we've talked a lot about the women being raped and, you know, the prostitution. And my brother, and this goes, him and my sister-in-law have been married for over 30 years, and he swear up and down her best friend that was living with them raped him, you know. And so it's kind of hard to believe when a man say he's been raped by a woman, but he pulled the article, and he works in law enforcement, and he sent me an article from the state that he's in
where these two women rape this man.
Mm-hmm.
His car had broke down, and he was walking, and they offered him a ride, and they literally held him at gunpoint and raped him.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was able to, you know, but we don't, society don't look at that, you know, as being justified. You know, most men, oh, he'll upon, he, you know, if he say that he was raped, you know,
mm-hmm.
they want to, you know, just really ridicule and tear him down. But it's real on both ends. And we don't acknowledge the men, you know, being raped, unfortunately.
Yeah, we definitely don't. And that's going to lead into my next discussion, too, about men and prostitution. But you're right. We don't acknowledge a lot of things when it comes to men and rape or abuse of any kind. There are men that are out there that are being physically abused, mentally and emotionally abused, and financially abused by women just as much as some women are being abused by men. And then we also have to think about same-sex relationships. There are some same-sex relationships where the men are being raped, being physically,
mm-hmm.
mentally abused by another man. And we, as a society, just cannot fathom the thought of a man being raped. Because it's like, well, all men like coochie. All men want sex. That is not true.
Mm-hmm.
We have to stop making sex the right of a, let's see, sexual desire the right of a woman. Some men are not sexually attracted to some women, and that is okay. And if that woman ties him down or forces him, like you said, through gunpoint, it is considered rape. Anytime you take sex without that person's permission, man or woman, you are raping that individual. We have to stop making women the only ones that can be victims. Men are victims too when it comes to abuse. And I know you said it was hard for you to believe your brother, but was he young at the time?
Well, they were in college, and, you know, we kind of laugh about it because, you know, we
mm-hmm.
want to say with men, okay, well, it was hard, so, you know, you must have wanted it, you know. You know, you want to come up with those statements because he worked nights and went to school at night, but he worked the overnight shift. And my sister-in-law, which wasn't his wife at the time, had classes during the daytime. And this friend girl of hers that she was supposedly in an abusive relationship, and
mm-hmm.
she let her stay with them. And my brother woke up with her on top of him, riding him.
Oh, goodness.
So, you know, so, okay, well, how I get hard? You know, how you didn't know she was on you? You know, you have all these questions. But being a woman, you know, you can't say what's going on with the man's body, you know. He had his reasons and explained, but, you know, okay, we're like, mm-hmm, yeah, right. But, you know,
mm-hmm.
we were younger then. We can look back now and say, well, yeah, you know, it's possible, you know.
Yeah.
But back then, okay, well, you must have wanted it. You was hard, you know. How you ain't know she was clamming on top of you? You
now,
know, you have all these different questions.
And you know exactly what you just said. He was hard. Our bodies, as I said it before, our bodies do things totally different than our mind because our bodies are automatic. You know, we have, your body just knows it's being turned on. There are even some women out there, you know, who feel guilty because they felt turned on by their sexual abuser. But it's not you, you know, it's not your, you know it's not right, but your body betrays you all the time
mm-hmm.
because your body doesn't know what's happening. You kind of know what I'm saying? So he was getting hard because that's some coochie, regardless of if it was wanted coochie or unwanted coochie.
Exactly.
It had nothing to do with what he wanted, though. That's just what his body knew what was happening.
Right. And I had a child when I was doing foster care that had been abused by her, by some family members. And doing the therapy pieces of it, you know, she was going to therapy twice a week. Now, one thing that I struggled with, because she had been abused for so many years, and she was only 9 years old. And they were teaching her, because she ended up, she would abuse other children that were in the home with her. So they were teaching her when she got those desires to go into the bathroom or into her bedroom and masturbate. Well, I had an issue with that, because I'm saying this is a baby. So what you're telling me is she enjoyed these dusty, rusty grown folks, you know, molesting her. And I had her for years, and it took one social worker to explain to me. She said, you have a son. She said, think about when he first discovered his penis as a toddler or a infant that wasn't even walking, when he's in the bathtub and, you know, splashing around in the water and he hit his penis, or when you're washing his penis, he that sensation automatically comes and they start to play with themselves. And it took that explanation for me to understand the fact that this sensation has been turned. So not that she is old.
Okay, your phone is kind of cutting out. Okay.
Yeah, has been turned on. So that made me then understand what was being said at that point.
Well, our bodies are, you know, our bodies are respond automatically to stuff, whether it's right or wrong touch. And it becomes a learned behavior. It becomes a learned desire, which is why it's so essential to receive mental and emotional help as soon as you can, as soon as possible, so that you can work through what you experienced, you know, as a child. And I just want to say to the listeners out there that we didn't know that this topic would go in the direction that it's going, but maybe somebody out there needed to hear it and understand that what you feel is, you know, what you felt was never, it's not your fault. You're not to blame for it. And also, of course, I am a counselor. So if someone is out there listening to this show and you feel like you need to talk about this stuff, you need some healing, you want to work through some things, you could definitely reach out to me. I've done a lot of work in regards to adults healing from sexual abuse. So you can reach out to me by emailing me at Mika N. Ray. That's M-E-K-A-N as in Nancy, R-A-E at gmail.com. And if you're not comfortable talking with me, I can always give you resources and send you to counselors that I know that can also help you as well. So I just want you all to know that. And if this show is too much for you, you're more than welcome to, you know, in the call. And I do have a caller that I want to bring on. Last four digits are 3060. Hello?
Hey, Mika Ray.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. I just wanted to chime in a little bit about the male rape situation.
Yes.
So I think because there's just the general misconception that men always want sex, and that you know, men are physically stronger than women. The question is, you know, well, if he didn't want it, one, you know, if he did get an erection, why? And then two, why can't he fight the woman off? You know, and it's just a kind of, I think it's just a really rocky slope to even go down. You know, I think even in all the confusion, no still means no. You know, right. No matter what the other person is doing, if they're intoxicated, if they're aroused, if they're asleep, if whatever, even if 2 minutes before they told you yes, when it becomes no, it means no. Anything after that that's forced is rape. You know, and they've done studies on men and men who say they were raped and they got erections. And, you know, even slight stimulation of the genitals for men, somebody touching them or an increase in stress can create an erection for a man, you know. And people don't ask women, you know, well, were you aroused when you were raped? You know, because women don't have an external sex organ, but, you know, they're... You know, if a woman got, I don't know, wet, if she got raped, it's, you know, even if she said no, it's still rape. And I just think it's unfortunate that men don't have that same outlet to come and talk about the rape that they face. Even, you know, being raped by other men, you know, there's so much shame in being penetrated like a woman and being raped that a lot of times even victims of male-on-male rape don't want to come forward, let alone male-on-woman rape, because then you just, you know, oh, you're weak, oh, you're this, oh, you're that, you know, if you didn't want it, you know. So I think it's just the stigma is kind of just, it's really unfortunate, and everybody kind of just needs to know that consent is the main thing here. Like, no still means no. Even if, let's say you have women who enjoy rape fantasies, you know, with their partners. They come up with a safe word, you know. So at some point, she's saying no. Anything after that is still rape, you know. Which people have to consent to what happens to their bodies. And if somebody hasn't, you know, because they were asleep or because they were intoxicated or because of anything, you know, it doesn't matter. Like, you still need consent to do what you do to somebody else's body. And when you don't have that, I think it is rape, you know, male or female.
I definitely agree. And then you touched on a good topic when you said that, you know, the shame that comes with even a male, you know, being touched, raped, molested, whatever, by another male. A lot of boys go through molestation and they don't tell it because of the shame that they feel and the ridicule. And we have raised, you know, we raised men to be these strong, we raised boys to be these strong, strong men. And anything that puts them in a position of vulnerability or a victim role, they feel shame. And it's not from their natural instinct, it's the shame because of the fact that.
Because society. Right.
Right. Because society has placed that on
them. All the package, all the baggage that comes with it. Like, men feel the need to prove their masculinity by being hyper-masculine and conquering all these women sexually and stuff like that, you know, and to even think for 1 second you didn't want it from somebody, you know, it just seems absurd. But, yeah, you know, men don't want to have sex with every woman. And, you know, just like every woman doesn't want to have sex with every man, you still need consent.
Right. And then another thing you brought up that makes me think about, too, is, a lot of people say that these young boys who are, you know, in their schools and they have these 25-year-old, 30-year-old, 40-year-old teachers that are having sex with them, and it's looked at as, well, he's a man, he's a boy, he enjoy having sex with that teacher, you know, all that kind of stuff. That is, I don't consider that a good thing, and I still feel kids should be able to be kids.
Because
no
if
one
the tables
should have,
were turned and there was a young girl and an older man, it'd be frowned upon. But since they're boys, and boys are encouraged to go out and, like I said, be these, you know, and have these conquests, as if, you know, because, you know, the world objectifies women. Women are nothing. They provide nothing other than sex. You know, this is what they're taught. This is the message they're sending when young boys are encouraged. You know, they get props for, oh, you know, you banged the teacher. Whereas, you know, a male adult and a young woman, like, she would be slut-shamed for the same thing, you know?
And then also, these women aren't being properly punished in some cases. Some cases it's like, oh, you know, they did it, maybe they'll go to jail, or maybe they'll do some community service. Sometimes they register as a sex offender, but they're not receiving the same type of punishment as these men are. And I think that is the reason why they feel like it's okay. You know, they're not really, it's not considered rape because I'm a woman. And men want it anyway. These little boys want me anyway. But it's still rape. It's still child molestation. And it's unfortunate because female molesters are becoming more on the rise now because of the way
I don't even think it's more on the rise. I think they were always there. I just think, you know, like most things now, they're getting a voice because we have the social media. You know what I'm saying? So more stories, like we're getting news and word of a lot more. I think it's always been that way. But, you know, it's just, it's a shame that men don't have that outlet to talk about it, you know, without being ridiculed and without being shamed. I mean, even, but, you know, that goes for women as well.
Yeah.
Like now, you know, a lot of women, you know, are shamed as well for being raped, for being sexually assaulted. They're doubted, you know, all these things. So I think it's just really muddy.
Especially if they're in a relationship with the person. And a lot of people don't understand that rape happens in a relationship.
If they've been drinking, or if they were on drugs, or if they were a prostitute, it doesn't matter. These are all respectability things. And, you know, respectability to me really has no place when it comes to sex. Because no matter what, if I was drunk and I said no, it's still no. If I'm a prostitute and I said no, it's still no. You know what I mean? Right. And to discount that because of whatever, you know, I think it's a load of crap, you know, and people really need to stop doing that, you know, and not taking people serious, you know.
I agree. Oof, this has been an interesting show tonight.
Yeah, it's real heavy.
Very heavy. So I will make sure if anyone is listening, you want to share the show, just make sure you give a warning about what we talked about on the show, because there are some people out there that could be triggered, and I don't want people to be triggered, you know, and not be in a safe space or safe zone to receive some type of emotional support or emotional help in regards to the trigger. So just, if you share the show, just share it with a warning on what the show, what it ended up being about. And I'm also going to make sure I put that out there when I share the show as well. So we're going to basically end the show with a song in a minute. I don't really want to go too much further right now. And I think we could pick this topic up at another time, when I feel like my audience has been, you know, prepared to talk more about it and listen to a show such as this. So, did you have anything else you wanted to say before
To touch on the prostitution, and that was what the show was about, not really about rape. But I just wanted to kind of
touch on earlier about.
Okay. You know, everybody is talking about, should we legalize prostitution? And I think it's okay to do, you know, because it's, everybody has their own prerogative to do whatever they want. Now everybody's a Christian, you know what I mean? Or even if they are a Christian, like a woman or a man is entitled to do with their body what they will. And as an adult, if you choose to sell your body for sex, you know, for money, you know, it's your business because it's your stuff. You know what I mean? But I think in that conversation, what's lost is that not everyone who is a prostitute chooses that role. So when you do start talking about rights for the people who are sex workers, you're generally leaving out a large population of the actual prostitutes, of the sex workers who are forced into it either economically or violently. Because, you know, human trafficking is real. It's a huge thing, and especially here, actually in the Atlanta metro area. You know, you have young girls or young boys or, you know, whoever, you know, people are drugging them and, you know, dragging them from wherever and forcing them into these lives, or bringing them from overseas and forcing them here. So I think if we're talking about legalizing it, you definitely cannot leave out the chunk of people who don't want to be doing it or who are doing
and it's
it and feel like those rights.
Right. And it's the majority of sex workers are forced into sex work.
Right, without any protection and without any rights. So I think a large part of the people talking about it, they are privileged, you know,
mm-hmm.
in a way to even be talking about rights when some people don't even have a right to their own bodies, to say no to that kind of
right.
work when they don't want to do it, you know.
Right. And if it becomes legal, I do think, like, if it becomes a thing that is legal, like you said, we forget about those that are forced into it, because I think
mm-hmm.
that would just increase the amount of people
right.
that are forced into it.
Well, because it's
it.
A money thing. It's a money maker.
Right.
It's a $1 billion industry, you know. It's a $1 billion industry all over the world. And people don't ever talk about where the demand comes from, where the need comes from, because, you know, they would rather exploit the victim, put their faces
right.
up, than to show the people who are actually buying these children or buying these women, you know,
mm-hmm.
and expose them. Yeah.
Right. And I think it's quite unfortunate that sex workers are arrested and placed in prison or placed in jail.
Mm-hmm.
If
right.
they are going to be arrested, then they need to be taken to a safe place where they can become, you know, they can get out of that particular life, and they can do it in a secure manner, a healthy manner, and receive emotional, mental, financial, as physical, you know, support to actually get through coming out of that life.
Right. But I think the fallacy there is that they're looked down upon. You know, it's in the larger discussion, it's a shameful occupation to have. It's
mm-hmm.
a shameful life to be a sex worker, you know. So you don't deserve rights. You don't deserve protection because, you know, you chose this, you know what I mean?
Right.
Or,
right.
you know, you could have done something more respectable. And I think it's just the respectability politics is killing us, you know?
Mm-hmm. 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 People don't want to look at the deeper, you know, the root, like everything that we touched on today, they don't think about those types of things. They don't think about the fact that this person may not have had a choice. So why not try to help this person as opposed to punish them for something that they didn't even choose in the first place.
Right, right. And for those who do choose it, who actually enjoy doing the work, you know, good on them, you know. More power to them. It's their body. I think, you know, we just need to get back, not even back to a place, because I don't think women have ever had full agency over their bodies and what they can do to it, you know, outside of the male gaze and what men want from us and the body, you know.
Yeah. Very good point. Very good point. Well, definitely take the time if you would like to, because I know you said you didn't get to listen to the beginning of it and listen to the show, you know, from the beginning. And
okay.
Let me know what you think about it and some of the points that we made in the beginning of the show in regards to the actual topic of the night. But I always say, you know, when the show goes a certain way, I let it go there because you just never know why it's going that way and who needed it or whatnot. So I had a pretty large audience listening tonight, so I'm hoping that it helps someone, or if you know, like I said before, if you know someone that needs some type of help, just send me an email at MikaNRay@gmail.com. And I will provide you with any resource that I have available to my disposal and make sure you are taken care of, or that individual is taken care of. And so make sure you all follow us on, subscribe to our Blog Talk show. It's blogtalkradio.com/WJBR. We are on Saturdays from 11 to 1. We're brunch in a basement with Javon. And on Sundays, Javon does Sunday evening show from, I believe it's 6:30 to 8:30. Then you're back to me again on Mondays. from 10 o'clock. Sometimes I do until 11:30. And tonight we're just going to end it on the note that we just made. And I hope everyone have a great night. I'm going to play Somebody by Natalie Rose featuring Jeremiah. And you all take care. Good night.